Thought Aid is made possible through funding by the undergraduate students at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. It can be heard every night at midnight and every afternoon at 5:58 on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Start Aid August 1st. August owes its name to July. July was named for Julius Caesar, a Roman general, statesman, and writer. If July hadn't been named for Julius, August may not have been named for his successor, Augustus Caesar. August 1st is one of the four so-called cross-quarter days. A cross-quarter day is one that comes about midway between a solstice and an equinox. According to tradition, there's some disagreement about whether the seasons begin at the equinoxes and solstices or between them on the cross-quarter days. In other words, some scholars might tell you that today should be the first day of autumn. The cross-quarter days generally coincide with times of celebration. The next such holiday is Halloween, which falls on the fourth and last cross-quarter day of the year. Today's holiday is less well-known, at least in America. It's Lammas, also known as Loaf Mass, the day on which worshippers traditionally offer a small loaf of bread as a feast day contribution. Lammas was originally one of the great pagan festivals in Britain. On the day of the June solstice, the sun reached its northernmost point in the sky. We here in the northern hemisphere celebrated the first day of summer. Now, on this cross-quarter day, we're halfway along to the September equinox, when the sun will again cross the celestial equator and bring autumn to the northern hemisphere. That's star date for this first day of August. Our program's written each and every day by Deborah Bird and produced for the University of Texas MacDonald Observatory. We're in Austin, Texas, and our zip is 78712. We welcome your cards and letters with questions on astronomy. Thank you for being with me. I'm Joel Block.
Well, good evening.
Yes.
And welcome to 3 hours of continuous record skipping.
I don't know if you started it. I don't know if you started it either.
I don't know either.
Well, it's 3 minutes after 12 o'clock.
It sure is.
And time for a Radio Free Weekend to begin.
And it's begun.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Listen, I'll be right back, okay? Why don't you say a few words to the phone?
No, you're not going anywhere this time.
You don't want me to leave you right now?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
We just got here.
Okay. You brought in the wrong thing, now.
I know.
Okay.
You said you had a surprise for me.
Yes, I do. Well, it's, I know how much you're into reggae. Oh, wait a minute. Being 3 minutes after 12 o'clock,
yeah.
Let's introduce ourselves.
Okay.
At the beginning of the program.
Okay.
I'm Mike Uhas.
And I'm Eric Corley.
And you have reached Radio Free.
You've stumbled onto another Radio Free Weekend here.
And maybe you'll hear people stumbling.
You hear all sorts of things. We've got all sorts of surprises for you. We have some news from Albania.
Of all places.
We've got Queen and Superdub. If you don't know what that means, stick around and we'll be showing you. You'll be needing your headphones, so why don't you run into the other room and get them.
Yeah, stereo headphones to boot.
Definitely. All sorts of other things. Brand new episode of The Tripods.
But let's start off with some reggae.
Reggae sounds good to me.
From Dillard, Hartford, and Dillard.
Let's do it.
See you boogie right across the floor. I like to do it to ya, till ya holler for more. I like the reggae, but you dance too fast for me. I like to make love to ya, so you can make me scream. Boogie on reggae woman, what is wrong with me?
What's wrong with you?
Boogie on reggae woman, baby, can't you see? I like to see both of us fall so deeply in love. I like to see you under the stars above.
Yes, it would.
see both of us fall so deeply in love. Yeah. I'd like to see you naked under the stars above. The boogie on reggae woman, what is wrong with you? What you trying to do?
That certainly was a surprise.
Don't you think so?
All right. Why don't you tell us about that? Who was that?
That's Dillard Hartford and Dillard.
Doing Boogie On Reggae Woman by Stevie Wonder.
Right.
Very nice, very nice. I like the sound of it. I thought it was refreshingly different.
Yes, it was.
It's what we're all about.
That's true. You never know what will happen from... Well, Hartford will do anything, you know, just on record.
That's for sure.
The name of the album is Permanent Wave.
Is that a new one?
Yes, it is. It's not to be confused with New Wave, but it's Permanent Wave.
Ah, Permanent
Wave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would
I think
you
somebody
turn,
else got it before they did.
Would you turn off the that record, though, please?
That's good. Okay. Well, as I mentioned before, and yes, there is a lot of anticipation out there now. There was some news about Albania in the paper this week in yesterday's New York Times.
Yesterday's?
Yeah, actually, it's more about Belgrade, Yugoslavia, but Albania is mentioned, so that's important, very important.
I didn't know that they sold the New York Times in your village. Occasionally a stray copy blows over the lawn, and we find it. It's called Six More Yugoslavs Sentenced for Ethnic Rioting in Kosovo.
That's nothing like a bus plunge story, is it?
No, it's not. It has nothing to do with bus plunges. And there were none of those this week either.
Oh.
I'm keeping my eye out for bus plunges. No bus plunges in the Times today, but a riot story. This was dated July 29th. It comes off Reuters. Six more people in the southern region of Kosovo were sentenced today to prison for counter-revolutionary activity involving ethnic Albanian riots, officials said. Three workers and two students were sentenced to terms ranging from 6.5 to 8.5 years after a two-day trial in Kosovska Mitrovica.
Whoa.
Now, the five were accused of organizing and participating in agitation in March and April that took the lives of at least 9 people and injured more than 250. I bet people didn't even know about that. The sixth defendant, an 18-year-old student, was tried...
Except the ones who got injured.
The sixth defendant, an 18-year-old student, was tried in the provincial capital of Pristina and given 6 years. Officials said the student wrote anti-Yugoslav poems and pamphlets, distributing them to fellow students. He was also accused of participating in the demonstrations. And last week, three ethnic Albanians were sentenced at Kosovska Mitrovica to jail terms ranging from 6 to 8 years. About 150 others are awaiting trial in Kosovo, including the alleged ringleaders. More than 2,000 people were arrested after the riots, and many spent up to 60 days in prison for minor offenses.
Wow.
And there it is. You heard it here, folks.
That's directly from the New York Times.
And I'm saying things here that I have a feeling that people have never heard before, like Kosovska Mitrovica or...
I've never heard of it.
The provincial capital of Pristina. But you didn't even know that.
I didn't even know there was a country named Pristina.
It's not. It's ignorance. It's a capital of a province.
Oh.
Okay?
What is the...
The 18-year-old student was given 6 years.
What is the capital again?
Pristina.
What is the providence of the capital?
Well, it doesn't say that.
I have a story.
That's news from Albania. If you have any news from Albania, tell us about it, please.
Send it in. Attention, Albanian news desk.
It's important.
It is. A country like that should not be forgotten.
It is forgotten, and everywhere it shouldn't be. Definitely not.
Especially because it's so close on the very beginning of the alphabet.
True. That's on
even before America. And people forget Albania.
That's right. It is before America. It's on the Adriatic Sea, too, which is also before America. The what sea they're saying out there?
That's before the Atlantic, which is, to the America. Okay, well, I have a story that was in a New York Times some years ago, apparently. An insurance salesman on his way to work in a New York City subway was standing in a subway car when a short, well-dressed man entered the car, bumped into him, then abruptly left.
Oh.
The insurance man instinctively felt for his wallet, and, finding it missing, reached out and grabbed the short man by his jacket collar. The subway doors closed with the rubber edges around the salesman's wrist, but he held on even after the train started moving and managed to drag the other man several feet along the station platform before the material of the man's jacket tore, leaving the salesman holding a few inches of tweed in his hand. 10 minutes after he reached his office, the salesman's wife phoned him to tell him he had left his wallet on the dresser.
Oh, that's a goodie.
You remember a few weeks ago, I interviewed a fellow from the National Lampoon, John Bendel.
Yeah.
And he was kind enough to send you a copy of his book.
And he sent you a copy, too, I believe.
That's true.
So
that's what we just read from. And
this is a very interesting book. I've been reading it over the...
that's an interesting picture there, isn't it?
Last few weeks.
Yeah.
Last few days, I mean, and...
But since this is...
There are so many...
This is radio. We can't tell you about the pictures.
No, we can't tell you about the pictures. But we can tell you about this story over here, which I thought was pretty funny. Angry bus patrons in the Midlands of England complained to bus company officials when drivers repeatedly failed to stop and pick them up. They claimed operators would sometimes smile and wave as they drove by. In defense, the company noted, it is impossible for the drivers to keep their timetable if they have to stop for passengers.
That's true. In my interview with John, he mentioned the bus plunge stories. And
yeah.
There's a whole page full of them in here somewhere, I recall.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, they actually apparently had a guy in the New York Times that wrote up bus plunge headlines.
But what else could you call it when a bus does plunge? Because it does happen.
Yes, down ravines and cliffs and that kind of thing.
Why is it always buses, though? You never hear about a truck plunge, or... Well, you see,
trains don't even, and trains certainly do plunge. We hear about that often enough, but you never see a train plunge headline.
There are so many good stories in this book. my favorite picture here is the one that the Utah Air National Guard, the sign had been knocked over in an accident, and the arrow was pointing straight up into the air for the Air National Guard. Can't read that one on the air.
Oh, no. People wouldn't understand what you were talking about.
I guess I can't find it now, but there is truly a whole bunch of stories in here about a base signal around corner.
Do you want me to
find the bus plunges?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, found them.
See?
Bus plunge kills 30 in Iran. Brazil bus plunge kills 14. 35 injured in bus plunge. Quebec bus plunge kills 13. Bus plunge kills 6. Bus plunge in Java kills 35. Ecuador bus plunge kills 19. 6 killed in bus plunge. Afghan bus plunge kills 21. Spanish bus plunge kills 22. Bus plunge kills 25 in Mexico.
Every country gets one.
Here's one. Here's one of my favorites. Tires, speed, and driving cited in fatal bus plunge.
What is that?
Tires, speed, and driving cited in fatal bus plunge.
Driving?
Mm-hmm.
Of course driving. I mean, it had to be driving.
Bangladesh bus plunge kills 9.
Bangor?
Bangladesh.
Oh, Bangladesh. I thought you meant Bangor, Maine.
Oh.
Well, that's the latest on the bus plunges. I don't think you'll be seeing very many of those now.
They probably kicked that editor off the Times.
Yeah. A man wearing a Halloween mask and carrying a revolver walked into a liquor store in Riverside, California on Thanksgiving Day and asked clerk Thomas Dougherty, "How's business?" Dougherty replied that it had been a rotten day. Customers had stayed home because of the holiday. The would-be hold-up man nodded sympathetically and left.
That reminds me of a story that's in there also about a fellow who... a robber who goes into a convenience store.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of these little neighborhood stores that stay open from like 7 in the morning to 11 at night, that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
And he asked for, you know, he wanted to rob the place, but there was apparently hardly any money in the register, so what he did was he tied up the employees and stuck them in the refrigerator, and he posed as the clerk, and among the patrons were a couple of police officers.
Yeah.
Who always seemed to frequent donut stands anyway.
He just ran the store for a couple of hours and made a lot of money and left. He was never caught from what I heard.
Hmm.
Unbelievable. And there are a lot of good stories in this book. National Lampoon's True Facts. We'll be getting to a few more of those, you know, in the coming hours, coming days, coming weeks.
Sure.
For the rest of our lives.
What is the temperature outside?
Well, it's currently, right now, 21 degrees and 70 Fahrenheit. Do we have a weather forecast to pass along to the folks? We don't have one here.
Well, we have this. Sunny at Stony Brook. No, we don't want to read that one.
No, that's not right. But we'll get a weather forecast.
What's that little blue thing you have there?
This. Okay. I was going to say this for later, but since you brought it up, this is something that I got through my job.
You received as compensation, in other words.
Well, as I was driving somebody from an airport to their house, we got to talking, and this person... middle-aged lady who lives in East Meadow told me that she was an inventoress. That's, you know, like an inventor, except it's a female.
Anything like an inventorix?
Something like that.
Is that
like
an executor, an executrix?
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, you know, an inventor. Invents things.
Yeah.
Well, she told
just
me that
for kids.
She had invented a couple of hundred things in her life, one of which is pretty famous now. Maybe not to most people, but certainly to nurses. Now, nurses who wear caps, well, they put their caps in a case. She's the person who invented the case. So she invented nurses' caps cases. She's very proud of that, too.
I think she is. What are some of the other things she's invented, do you recall of him?
Nothing really really dramatic. Basically, things that... things you put in your pocket to prevent you from losing other things. This thing I have in my hand is a perfect example, and I think she's going to do quite well in this. It's called monkey hide, spelled monkey K-E-Y. Sorry. I don't know where I am tonight. K-E-Y-H-I-D-E. I knew as I was saying that key is the letter, isn't it? Sure, it makes a good sound for a letter.
Key.
Okay.
Oh, key.
Right between M and N. All right, now...
What about L?
What this is for is... It's a surefire way not to lose your keys or your money, as I'm always doing. It says on the little label here, pin it on, snap it on, easy clothes pin and clothes, goes with you wherever you go. And what it is, a little blue... How would you describe this, Mike?
Well, it looks like a little wallet of sorts.
A small wallet. It opens up. There's a little safety pin inside it. And it's on this safety pin that you attach this little baby key ring.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you open up the safety...
Careful there.
I'm trying to open... All right, now put the key ring on the safety pin. And that's where you... I showed her my keys, and I said, well, hey, would they be good for my keys? Because I'm always losing them. They're too big to put in my pocket, so I have to leave them in crazy places. And she said, oh, no, they'd never fit on there. This is for one or two keys.
Oh, like for one's house key or car key
one's
if they go
key,
jogging or something.
Spare car key or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, well, I guess it's still good for that. So what you do is you attach your key to this little metal ring here, very tiny ring. That attaches to the safety pin,
mm-hmm.
and then it sort of buckles
Let's hear the snap.
Over. Let's see if I can get it in there, like that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and what you do is you attach, I guess using the safety pin, no, actually you have something else here. You have another buckle, a double buckle, see, one, two. Okay, and you buckle that over your belt.
Uh-huh, suppose you're not wearing a belt.
He'll be a wise guy.
You
buckle it over your belt,
safety pin.
And something like that. You attach it to your pants. And that way you can never lose it.
Hmm.
If you go jogging, you can even go swimming with it. You can do anything you want. And everybody that this lady has come up with this invention has said, well, why didn't anybody ever think of this before? This is great. And it's going to sell a million copies of the thing or whatever. She got a patent for it,
mm-hmm.
because nobody ever thought of it before. A little thing to prevent you from losing your...
It shows you how simple certain things can be that nobody really thought of patenting. Like, remember we had that fellow from... Oh, I forget. His name was Spencer. With the New York City's drought problem. And it was such a simple concept, too. And he
kind of a stupid concept, actually, if you ask me. Uh-huh. I'm not afraid to say it.
And there was the guy from Champaign-Urbana with the magnetized shopping carts.
Magnetic supermarkets.
Yeah.
that was kind of ridiculous, too. This is for real, though. There's a lady on East Meadow who invents things, and this is one of the things she's invented. She's going to put her son through medical school with this.
Can I see that?
Sure. Here it is.
Thank you. It's mine now.
She told me that...
Did they only come
it's
in blue?
It's going to sell so many copies, and... Oh, there's a little piece of paper here, too, that says name, address, telephone number, allergies, medical alert information in case of accident, phone, and blood type.
It has a little note inside. Congratulations, you are now the proud owner. Oh, and it tells you what to do and how to do it.
Oh, okay, read it to us, then.
Okay, it says, instructions to open pin C diagram. Slide cap back, not off. Be careful, don't stick yourself. Now pin on.
I almost did that, too.
To close pin C diagram, slide cap back into position securely. This product has been... partially assembled by special adults at their school workshop under government grant. This product is patent pending. Any infringement in any kind, well, da, 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 da.
Et cetera, et cetera.
And it will be very vigorously prosecuted, it says.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
It certainly is. And I think she's going to clean up with that thing.
Yes.
So, folks, if you ever see something called monkey hide in the store, well, that's where it came from.
Now, I asked you, I don't think you heard me, or you didn't answer me. This is really nice. Does it come in any other color than light blue?
I think it must. It doesn't say it comes in blue on the label. I think I just got a blue one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she gave this to you as a tip, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of a clever little picture here on the label. It shows a little monkey hiding his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Monkey hide. It's pretty nice. So that's part of the technology of the 80s.
Yes.
And it's surprising, too, because when you consider how many patents there are, what are there, hundreds of thousands, millions?
Millions. Well?
There are about, from what I understand, 2,000 different patents alone for mousetraps.
This piece of station equipment...
That record off.
Sorry. Is covered by U.S. patent number 3,241,781, and others are pending.
I bet this file box, which I put index cards in them, I bet that has a patent on it somewhere. It doesn't say anything on it, actually. I'm sure if you look at everything in your house, you'll find a patent.
Yes.
Were you holding a cassette back to the microphone?
Well, I wanted to see if it had a patent number on it.
Uh-huh.
Is anything... Is that anything like patent leather shoes or...
No, no, that's something different. No, this file box doesn't have anything written on it.
Mm.
I'm surprised about that. But your wallet, is this your wallet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to open up your wallet and see if there's a patent on it. Top grain cowhide. No patent, though.
Are there any Alexander Hamiltons in there? That's the important question.
He's got one.
George Washington.
We still have an Alexander Hamilton and a George Washington.
Good. So we can get pizza tonight.
Yeah, we'll do that later on. Your wallet doesn't have a patent, Mike.
So anybody can infringe my copyright.
That's right. In any event, do you know what today is?
No, it was yesterday.
What's the date?
Today's August 1st.
Exactly. August 1st, 1981. July's gone. Goodbye.
Yeah.
No more. July's finished.
You can't buy any bathing suits in the stores anymore.
That's right. Oh, and I saw my first back-to-school sale.
Yeah, and...
disgusting, isn't it?
Somebody's having a Christmas sale already.
No.
Well, we're not going to get into that. But now, the important point here is you can't buy a bathing suit in a store anymore. Uh-uh.
You can't?
No. The season's over as far as bathing suits are concerned.
That's ridiculous.
More people are going to come down to the nude beaches now.
I don't believe that, though. If you want to buy a bathing suit, you should be able to.
Well, not at this time of year. Hey, you remember, this is August. You saw back to school, right? They don't sell bathing suits to go back to school in, do they?
That's true. Yeah, I guess you're right. The summer's over.
But what happened about 10 years ago?
Okay,
yesterday?
10 years ago. You got me sort of off the track here. 10 years ago was a very special event. August 1st, 1971.
It was actually July 31st, wasn't it?
No, it was August 1st.
According to that calendar, it was.
Well, it was August 1st, too, then. They extended over into the... I don't know. It was August 1st. That's what I'm told.
Their time.
It was this time of year, 10 years ago, that
were
the concert for Bangladesh took place.
Were they wearing bathing suits?
Probably somebody in the crowd was. But it was quite an event for anybody who was there. If anybody was there, give us a call, 246-7901.
Even if you weren't there, you can call us anyway.
Pretend you were there.
246-7901.
Area code 516. It's Radio Free Weekend time.
Nobody was getting paid for anything. We go on drums, Ringo Starr. Also on drums, Jim Keltner. There's somebody on bass who many people have heard about, but they never actually seen him. Klaus Voormann. We've got a whole lot of guitarists. Mr. Jesse Ed Davis. The old friend of mine, Mr. Eric Clapton. And then, thank you. Somebody I'm sure you all know by now, on piano, Leon. I don't know if they're coming through on acoustic guitars, if you're hearing them, but it's an Apple Band Badfinger. And we've got a whole lot of singers out there. The singers are all from all different parts of the world and different bands, so I mean, just give them a big hand. I don't know what's really... And the Hollywood horn players over there, led by Jim Horn. Have we forgotten anybody? I don't know. Forgotten Billy Preston.
Offshore, because then you're in international waters and anyone can get you. Everyone is fashion conscious these days. Still, if you catch a pair of lobsters, don't wear them as earrings. They could be mighty painful, and anyway, they'll start stinking in a few days.
And the same goes for wearing a mooring heel as a neck chain. Also, if you're into water skiing, never attempt it in a swimming pool that's smaller than Olympic size. So, this is Spunky.
And Spunky reminding you that cookouts can be fun, but don't barbecue with blasting caps.
And there they go. Spunky and Spunky. They just come in here once or twice a night and give us such cheer and goodwill. You can stop now, Mike. They're gone.
Oh.
Well, we have another story. This is a kind of a funny one. Kind of a sad one, too. Victor Marchetti, former CIA executive assistant, and a 14-year veteran with the agency, claims that the CIA once recruited a cat. Now, Marchetti said the animal was wired for sound in an attempt to eavesdrop on the conversations of enemy agents. A problem arose, though, when the cat developed hunger pangs and wandered away from the target area in search of food, so wires were implanted in the cat to neutralize the hunger response. But this didn't solve all the CIA's problems, since the cat, a male, also went off in search of sexual satisfaction. Therefore, more wires were implanted to thwart the cat's sexual urges. After exhaustive testing, the cat was finally ready for assignment. It was turned loose in the street, followed by a CIA support truck loaded with electronic monitoring gear, but was immediately run over by a taxi cab. What can I say?
It's really typical, isn't it?
Yeah. That comes from the National Lampoon again. Unbelievable.
The True Facts book. And everything in that book is purported to be true.
Yes, it is.
Are you going to read the one about Dr. Harold Eddy, which I read to you earlier?
Which?
With the intestinal gas.
Oh, well, I don't think
exploding.
We should read that on the air. No. I mean, it may not be prime time, but we do have some level
of
taste to look to.
Yes, what is this kooth garbage?
Well, we talked about some people I met this week. Did we talk about anybody you met this week?
I met? Didn't really meet all that many people.
You moved to a new office, didn't you?
Well, yeah, that's true. I moved right across the way.
Wow.
I got new business cards and everything.
It was very, traumatic, meeting all your associates and everything, and going on to something bigger and better.
Well, they moved with me.
Oh, that's kind of a happy occasion, then, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, we got rid of my boss, though.
Oh.
He's just down the hall now. But it's
kicked him down, huh?
Interesting. Oh, I know what happened today.
What?
The there was apparently a automobile accident right near where I work.
Yeah.
And causing all sorts of I'm glad somebody finally took care of that. causing all sorts of damage to electrical wires and stuff.
Yeah.
And what's that noise again?
The record's back. I don't even know where it is.
It sounds like crickets, Anyhow, the lights went off, so I went around the building raping and pillaging.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so the ancestral,
Yes, it's just a primordial urge,
Right. Well, that was, it's good you had an interesting day anyway.
Yeah.
You had a fire down there in Bohemia the other day, didn't you?
In fact, we actually deal with that.
Was that very close to where? Oh, really?
Yeah. You work in Bohemia too.
That's true,
you?
But I wasn't there when that happened.
This is really very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, an extreme coincidence, I think, since that next song that you thought you were going to play.
Well, we are going to do something with a couple of popular Queen songs. Queen. What can I say? Queen and Super Dub is what we're going to be doing. And we asked you, in fact, we sort of told you to get your headphones ready by now, and I hope you've done it.
And if you haven't, we'll give you another minute.
All right, well, should we give them a whole minute?
Well, let's start the timer now.
Okay.
One, two, three,
we
four.
We won't have to count the whole minute.
Okay.
We have some, some special things done to this song. Well, if you've heard some of the things we've done to other songs, you'll know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
We also have...
Why do we have to give them a whole minute?
That's right. Let's not give them a whole minute. Let's start it right now. Oh,
mamma mia.
Let me go, Mia. Let me go, Mia.
Up, please.
Rub-a-dub style.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank Steve Speck for helping us out with that one.
Yes.
Some Queen, Super-Dub Queen for you.
Why are we standing up right now?
USB. Why are we standing up?
Well,
because
you said
you
stand up.
Something, you stand up. That's the rule here at the radio station.
I see.
Ask Lister.
That's true.
Well,
actually, he kneels, doesn't he?
He sort of kneels, stands up, hops up and down, all sorts of things. You can hear everything he does when he comes on.
Yeah.
It's 12:53 right now.
Oh, that means it's almost 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to 1 o'clock. We'll be 1 o'clock soon. So did you, speaking of God Save the Queen and all that, did you see the wedding? Did you wake up at 4:30 in the morning and sit in front of a television set and watch it?
Absolutely not. No.
Yeah, well, neither did I. But it was, you know, if I had done that, it probably would have been something to talk about.
Well, since we didn't do it, let's talk about that. I didn't get it.
A lot of people did. A couple of million people, in fact.
Yes. But I kind of, like, I say, who bloody well cares about what happens in bloody England on somebody getting married? I mean, you know.
Well, it is an unusual event, whether or not, you know, you go for it. It's something that you'll never see again for a long time.
Well, that may be true, but then again, it's the same thing as President Reagan getting married. Well, then again, he's already married.
That's true. That would be very unusual.
Or one of his sons getting married, the ballet star.
I don't think there'd be half as much of a fuss about that.
Yeah, so then what's the big deal then?
Well, it's just sort of the majesticness.
I guess it goes back to Elizabethan and Victorian
times. Exactly, because there's such a history to it, you know, all these old King Henry VIII. I mean, they're all related. Henry VIII and Prince Charles and Queen Victoria. Speaking of which, Queen Victoria, we just so happen to have something sort of fits in with the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
in our head. But it's even all life, but the big chief said, we just try to move in our head. Just try to move in our head. Try to move in our head. Well, if you don't like what the big chief said, you just try to move in our head. One more time, boss. Try to move in our head.
Read my letters.
Try to move in our head.
Try to move in.
Well, if you don't like what the big chief said, you just try to move in our head. Brother,
sister,
brother,
sister,
brother John is gone. Well, brother.
Neville Brothers here on USBFM. And it's 1 o'clock over here on the East Coast. I wonder what time it is in Colorado.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's 11 o'clock. Is that a voice I hear from Colorado?
Yes, Eric.
Yo.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is Norm, and I'm calling from downtown Telluride, Colorado.
My goodness. Say, Norm.
We've been out here at the convention of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters in Durango, Colorado, which is right in the middle of the beautiful mountain area here. So, on the way driving back to Boulder, before we head on back to the East Coast, we had to make a stop at Telluride, Colorado, which is one of the most amazing little places in the country, and the home of a fantastic station called KOTO, which is a mighty 10-watt job in the beautiful mountain area of Telluride.
All right.
Well, for the last hour or so, we've been programming some material from some albums that are sitting in here in the studio, but a lot of the people here aren't aware of, you know, who they are, what the music's all about. And we're kind of, I think, shaking things up here on Main Street because people are just dropping into the studio here wondering what is all this stuff. It's nice to see people all over the country really concerned about providing an alternative broadcast service. And these people have been doing a job for a number of years, and credit goes to them, that's for sure. So how are things back on the East Coast?
Oh, fine. Say, Norm, we have an idea.
Yes.
Well, since we have you on the air here, why don't you put us on the air there?
Why don't we put you on the air here? I don't think that they can put the telephone on the air here.
Oh, that's a flimsy excuse.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it. Okay, they think they know how to put the telephone on the air here.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
we'll have a network.
Maybe we can have a network. I'm not certain exactly what's going on next. They're playing a little Pink Floyd, Obscured by Clouds. My brother picked that one.
We're playing the Neville Brothers.
Neville Brothers? No, not the Neville Brothers.
Well, that's what we're doing.
I don't know. I think they want to have a cross-country communication. This is Long Island.
Long Island.
Radio Free Long Island.
This is we're live on the air on WSB Long Island. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of people here who don't believe me. Hang on a second. Somebody here was born in St. James who wants to say something.
Okay.
Hi, Mom.
Tony.
She comes from St. James. Can you believe it?
And you're in Telluride.
Can you believe it? I'm in Telluride, and there's a woman here who's lived in St. James, Long Island. Isn't that amazing?
Just proves that people will...
I'm not going to give the address, but she was raised there. Isn't that unbelievable?
People will go anywhere to get away from Long Island.
Absolutely. Anyway, the studios here are completely unlike ours. It's in a house that looks like a two-story house, and you walk in the door, and the record library is right in the main control room, and they have windows and plants and burlap bags on the roof. It's quite unusual. I think it's quite appropriate for the lifestyle that the people live out here in Telluride. That's for certain.
What is the name of the school there?
There's no school. There's,
oh.
In this town. This is a town that's sort of similar to, well, I hate to say it's a tourist trap, but what it is, it gets a lot of the people in the know stopping by, if you know what I mean. Sort of like an artist's colony.
All the bluegrass.
To New Hope, Pennsylvania, and Provincetown, Massachusetts, places like that. The Greenwich Village also, it's that kind of thing. Not too many people actually live in the town here. A lot of people pass through. And you can only get two stations on the dial. This one and another one playing some kind of country music. A lot of open space on the radio dial out here for sure. You can go up and down and maybe find three or four stations depending upon where you're driving. Spend some time driving to the to Arizona and driving through the Indian Reservation, which you actually go through. And on the AM dial, there's nothing. And on the FM dial, there's one station out of Flagstaff, Arizona, I think.
One station, huh?
What station? In the,
no, like a...
some kind of, you know, country music station. A lot of country music. The people out here generally are really into, you know, sort of like the West Coast cowboy rock type of thing. You know, the Eagles are very popular. Dan Fogelberg, of course, is very popular. But the other night in Durango, we had the opportunity to go to some club, and the band on stage was actually playing a lot of new wave stuff. You know, the Police, Split Ends, I think, the Cars. And I was kind of surprised. I didn't really think that the...
It's funny you should mention that, Norm, because I was down in Virginia a few months ago, and I experienced the exact same thing, nothing but hillbilly music all over the place. And then suddenly I went to this this high school event, of all things, and there was this band... suddenly came down and started playing Devo and the Ramones, and
yeah, that's,
I almost cried.
It's I tell you, the most there's a couple of strange feelings when you drive across the country. One feeling I always get is whenever I hear a Long Island group, you know, I sort of get, you know, I sort of feel kind of proud. Even
gets you right,
I might not particularly like the music, like driving through here, they, you know, they play Foghat, and they played you know, the Good Rats. Of course, they play a lot of Billy Joel. When you're back at home, you hear that stuff. You don't really, you know, pay that much attention to it. But when you're driving through Arizona and you hear, you know, Foghat, these are the guys who live right down the block from the university. You hear Billy Joel, of course, is from Long Island.
They're all boys.
You kind of feel chauvinistic in a way that these people come from your area. And a lot of people did ask about Harry Chapin, as a matter of fact.
Say, Norm. Say, Norm.
Yeah.
Have you found any stations out there that carry Stardate?
Stardate? I'm really not certain. If you guys had the Stardate list here on the right next to you, you could probably ask me if I ran into anybody. Stardate, nothing obvious, you know what I mean?
Yeah, have you ever... there's a station out there someplace in Colorado. I'm not sure where. It's called KVNF. It's the voice of the North Fork. That's what the VNF stands for. And
the
I'm
town that's in?
Pardon me?
You know what town?
No, I really don't know. See, I know that they carry Stardate, though.
Uh-huh.
Somebody told me that they listen to Stardate out there.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I know that there's a pretty good station in Boulder, too, that will probably be stopping by it. And it's possible that they carry it. But other than that, I don't know. Hang on a second. The people on the air here will... quickly talk on the telephone.
Oh, good. Okay.
Let's see what else is happening here. In terms of in terms of the music, yeah, so when you hear a Long Island, you know, based musician, you feel kind of proud. And, you know,
those of us who live in the New York metropolitan area, I kind of think are really spoiled to the extent that we just hear, we have the opportunity to hear a lot of things. And a lot of people who are really into music, of course, complain about the fact that although there may be 150 stations you can pick up on the dial, oftentimes you really can't hear anything new and exciting. But when you really compare the New York City metropolitan area to most other places in the country, you really kind of miss, you know, the opportunity of hearing a good variety of music. And, you know, when you're traveling through small towns and you speak to the people who work at radio stations or who are musicians, I had the opportunity to talk to a local musician the other night in Durango, and you see that they're trying very hard, you know, to make it, make their own music, and you wonder how easy it's going to be for them when you have people who live in the metropolitan area who perhaps are just as good, if not better, and they're right in the heart of the music industry, and they can't get anything done. You wonder how someone who's literally in the boondocks, who might very well be very talented, has a chance to showcase their talent. So, you know, those of us who, you know, do reside in the metropolitan areas really should be kind of, you know, thankful that we have the resources for getting information about different types of music, different types of information, especially when you go to you know, different parts of the country. However, there is no comparison to the Rocky Mountains. You can't, the Long Island Sound and the beaches, nice, but there's really nothing like the Rocky Mountains or driving through the Red Mountain area.
Well, you might be exaggerating a little bit there, Norm. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen the cliffs over at West Meadow Beach. But,
yeah, they're kind of nice, but nothing like this, nothing like this.
Norm.
Well, years ago I drove through the Northern California, and the trees up there were pretty impressive. But the Grand Canyon, you know, you just think it may be nothing more than a big ditch. But,
Norm.
It really is quite impressive.
Norm.
Yeah.
It sounds like you have a cold.
No, I don't have a cold. Well, I'm standing in front of an open window here. I'm getting a bit of a draft. Maybe I am catching.
Ah, see, we could see that in your voice.
You can? So are we going to go on the air here or what? Because we're running up a bill here.
What's the weather like over there?
The weather is, what's that?
Could
we go on the air?
Okay, we'll give it a try.
Okay, we're going to give it a try here. The weather, it's kind of cool here tonight. It's about 50 degrees, I guess.
Wow, it's only 21.
It's indicated right there. Can you read it?
It's only 21 degrees here. I don't understand.
How much is it?
21.
59 degrees in Telluride, Colorado.
And it's 21 in Stony Brook.
How much?
21.
21?
Yeah.
What do you mean? At 21 Celsius?
Right, of course.
Oh.
Where are you?
Hang on a second.
It's actually 15 degrees in Telluride, Colorado.
Oh.
Okay, we got an on-the-air telephone call with, what's your radio station?
Oh, my goodness, WUSB in Stony Brook, of course.
WUSB in Stony Brook.
It's 11 minutes after 1 o'clock here.
Yep, it's 11 minutes after 11 o'clock here in Telluride.
Wow, so you have four ones and we have three.
I think you're three in for a loop.
Yep, something like that. So how many watts does your radio station have?
Oh, about 4,000.
Yeah, here or there.
4,000?
Watts.
Yeah, we're a whopping 10 watts.
Can I ask who we're speaking with?
This is Garcon Duvache.
Oh.
The late night DJ here.
Uh-huh.
And what are you playing right now? I mean, obviously when you're not talking with us, what are you playing? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Colorado.
International operator, may I help you?
A dial tone. Something went wrong there.
That's for sure.
Apparently, the person talking on the air did something to the phone and hung up.
Well.
So that just shows you the difference between a 10-watt station in Colorado and a 4,000-watt station on the North Shore of Long Island. We don't hang up on people when they're on the air. That's for sure.
That's true.
Well, let's see if they call back. They might call back. Well, someone's calling, but that's probably not them.
Yeah. That wouldn't be them that quickly.
Yeah.
Besides, they're calling on the wrong number.
They're calling on the peasant line.
Well, we're not going to hang up on them, but we're not going to pick up on them either, are we?
Well, I don't think so. Well, it stopped ringing anyway, so we don't have that choice anymore.
Well, thank you for ringing, at least.
It's 13 after 1 now. That was enlightening anyway. We know where our general manager is. And now another line's ringing. Another peasant line.
That's the peon line that's ringing.
Yeah.
There's a difference between peons and peasants.
Oh.
Well, so you can stop now.
The surf line is going to start ringing. Well, maybe that is him.
No, couldn't be.
Well, let me find out.
Okay. Well, in case you are wondering, you are tuned to Radio Free Long Island, Radio Free Weekend, and Eric will turn down his microphone, and that way we don't hear what he's saying on the air. But, you never know what's going to... We didn't have any idea that our general manager would call us up all the way from Colorado, but sure enough, he did. And what does this caller have to say on the peon line?
It's a phony.
Oh, it was
a phony caller.
That wasn't him.
Pretended to be Norm, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how I found out? Very clever, very clever. By putting part of that phone call over the air, the person told me, "Hey, you're on the air now."
Huh.
Now, how could he hear me if he's in Colorado?
Right.
Our signal travels far, but, folks, it doesn't travel that far.
Another peasant line's ringing.
Another peasant line. No, we don't need that. We don't need that. Norm's not going to call us back, I guess. That pretty much... Now two peasant lines are ringing. What's going on here?
Oh, boy. Well, why don't we get into some music and we'll answer the peasants. The peasant and the peon.
They have a right to speak to us. 2467901, quarter after one. And what is this stuff we have here?
This is Urubamba.
Uh-oh.
we're back with Norm again in Colorado.
We managed to find him again. And Norm, are you there?
Yeah, hi, we're back.
Ah, he's back. Hi, Norm.
Yes, we had some interruption here. The old technical radio jargon of technical difficulties flew right through the window again.
Except this time it was over there.
I'd like to give you a quick report. Every time I have an opportunity to go to one of these conferences, it's what it does, it just makes me very, very proud of the work that people back at the Stony Brook Station do. It's really nice and invigorating and a sense of real support when you see people from around the country doing the same kind of things that we do back at Stony Brook in other parts of the country. And those of you who are regular USB listeners, and of course those people who work for the staff at USB, realize that there really aren't that many. I think we're just about ready to go on the air here. Let's find out if it's coming to be.
We can finish that some other time, I guess.
Yeah, well, let's see. It's 1:22 in the morning, and in Colorado it'd be 11:22. So we have one.
Why don't we tell the folks in Colorado what time it is?
Okay.
Okay, we're just about ready to go, I think.
They're at KOC.
Stand by. We're going on the air in a second.
Ooh.
Exciting.
Okay, introduce
us. Another country. I don't know. Almost another country. Well, most places it would be another country.
Yeah.
I hear some mumbling under his breath. Oh, no.
Well, don't tell me. Hold on. Just hold on to it.
I heard a click.
That sounded like a serious click.
Anything?
Hello?
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 Hey, this is WUSB?
Yes, it is.
Is this KOTO?
Uh-huh. Ten Wappin Watts.
Ten Wappin.
You're right, Colorado. So what's your name?
My name's Mike Uhas.
And I'm Eric Corley.
Mike Uhas and Eric Corley.
Right.
And we're on the air with you guys, huh?
And are we on the air with you guys?
Yeah, you're on the air with us. We'll try to keep it on the air.
Well, that, we'd appreciate that.
So basically, what kind of music do you folks generally play over there?
We play a real diverse bunch of music. It's all volunteer disc jockeys. And so it's really whatever the disc jockey's in the mood for. At night, you'll hear a lot of punk, new wave. As much as we get in the Rockies here, you're probably more current with it. Being close to New York.
I guess you play a lot of bluegrass out there, huh?
Yeah, well, we have a bluegrass festival here.
Yeah.
And around bluegrass time, we play a lot of bluegrass, and everybody gets sick of it, and so you don't hear as much of it after that.
Huh.
Actually, the bluegrass festival is pretty good, and you will hear bluegrass and country western and stuff like that. But you'll hear jazz, old rock and roll, just about everything, really. We have a live interview show on Fridays.
Is that so?
Uh-huh.
And who do you interview?
Well, you know, whatever characters we have in town. We've interviewed an old miner, the owner of the ski area, Telluride's a ski town.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we got a new album in. It's the 1979 Telluride Bluegrass and Country Music Festival.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it shows a great huge mountain there.
Uh-huh. It's a great place to see any kind of music festival. We got a jazz festival coming up in about 2 weeks. Spyro Gyra's coming, Les McCann.
Wow.
Freddie Hubbard, and a whole bunch of other bands, too.
You know, Spyro Gyra, they're basically from Long Island, you know that, or at least a couple of people are.
Yeah, that's what I heard. They played here last year, so this will be their second time at the Telluride Jazz Festival.
Oh, that's interesting.
So there's a lot of music over there. That's good to hear.
There's a lot of music for the festivals. We had Taj Mahal here last summer.
Really?
Two nights. He played in Little. It's the old opera house. It seats about 200 people. So it was a real intimate show.
I'll bet it was.
Taj Mahal, he really loved it.
Well, what's the population of Telluride?
It's about, I'd say there's 800 to 1,000 year-round people, and we've got beds for about 1,000 tourists.
Uh-huh.
So it's really sort of a young resort in that respect.
It
hasn't really been built up, although it's going to be.
Now, from what Norm told me, there's no school there, so who is it that runs the radio station?
It's a community radio station, and it's all done volunteer, except we do have about three people that are paid salary. How does your radio station work?
Well,
exactly the same way, except there's only one person who's paid salary.
And it's really pretty much the school and the community together running this thing.
Well, for 4,000 megawatts or kilowatts.
Well, wait a second. 4,000 megawatts would be...
It's just 4,000 regular watts, that's
all.
Oh, all right.
A whopping 4,000 watts. Well, it's certainly been a pleasure talking with you all the way out there in Colorado.
Tell me, are you on 24 hours a day?
Well, we're usually on till 2 in the morning, but sometimes DJs will go all night, especially when there's things happening in town.
Uh-huh.
Like foreign radio station visitors, right?
Yeah, sometimes there's good parties up in the radio station late night.
Well,
how about your radio station?
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, we're on 24 hours a day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're on 24 hours
a
day.
So do you guys hit the whole New York area, or do you pretty much just
go
to Long Island?
We get Long Island and Connecticut. A good part of most of Nassau, I'd say, we get, and occasionally it winds over into Brooklyn and New York City and that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, occasionally,
that's
not often.
That's not often at all. And we've had reports from Philadelphia and various other places in
Boston the Northeast. Ones.
Right.
All sorts of crazy places. Sometimes pick up our stray signal.
Uh-huh.
Same thing with
you. Well, we don't have as much competition as you because we're the only radio station people can get.
Oh, wow. You didn't tell me that.
We're the only radio station you'll ever need.
What, you mean everybody out there can't get any radio station except
you? Actually, we can get stations from Montrose, which is about 60 miles away, and sometimes Grand Junction.
Grand Junction. What's the name of that station up there?
Does anybody know the name of the Grand... none of us know.
Oh, that wouldn't happen to be KVNF, would it?
Pardon me?
That wouldn't happen to be KVNF, would it be?
I don't know.
Is that a community free radio kind of thing as well?
No, I think it's commercial.
Oh,
you might have a community radio station.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because...
They have a college station.
Oh.
And they have community radio in a small town, farming town near here called Paonia.
Oh, that's the one. That's the one I'm thinking of. That's Paonia, really.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Paonia.
It's a neat town. It's like the fruit basket, meaning edible fruit. You know?
Uh-huh,
that's
right.
One that has
at Greenwich Village or anything, but...
Yeah.
But it's a real fertile valley.
Yeah, that's KVNF, right?
That might be.
Yeah, the voice of the North Fork or something like that?
Yeah, that might be.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know somebody who used to do some stuff out at that station.
It's a small world, isn't it?
It really is.
And it's shrinking fast.
So I hear the Telluride radio station was written up in the Village Voice 4 years ago.
What did you do?
Just the format, I guess.
How long have you been on the air?
I've been on since... how long has the station been on?
Both, actually, I guess.
Hold on. 1975.
Oh. So then you're only 2 years older than us. Your station's only 2 years older than us.
Uh-huh. Came around 77, huh?
Right. Yeah, we just had our fourth anniversary not too long ago. We gave away all sorts of albums, and, I guess Norm can tell you all about that.
Yeah.
Is Norm there around, or has he sacked out?
Yeah, Norm's here.
Oh, that's good. Well.
Taking good care of him, I hope.
Well, we're probably running up your phone bill here.
Or something like that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But then I hear you guys were calling Iran during the hostage crisis to try to get interviews.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
We believe in investigating stories.
And you guys called England during the riots, huh, recently?
Yeah.
Yes, we've done that, yes.
We did all sorts of crazy things.
Those are good ideas. We should start doing that at KOTO.
Yeah, get some controversy going.
What's the letters of your station again?
K-O-T-L. K-O-T-O?
K-O-T-O. Oh, okay, that's what I thought. All righty. Well, then, it was very nice talking with you, and a special hello to everybody in Telluride who happens to be listening. If your listeners want to call us up, our number here is area code 516-246-7901.
And I repeat that one more time so that you can get your pen and pencil out there in Colorado. You might have to dial a 1 first. Make it 1-516-246-7901. And
what's your number out there?
Okay, if anybody's listening, wants to call us up, make a request or something, it's 303-728-4333.
Right.
Okay. If anybody calls from Long Island, we'll be sure to play the request.
And listen, you folks out in Colorado, if you want to call collect, by all means do it. We won't accept it, but it'll be nice to hear from you anyway. And we'll mention your name on the radio, okay? Well, maybe we're not supposed to do that, but who cares?
Well, it's been really nice talking to you, and take good care of our general manager, okay?
Yeah, we're going to take him out to the bars as soon as this radio station is over and see if we can get him passed out in the gutter or something.
Well, that's good. Make
him feel right at home.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Okay, well, good night then.
Okay, good night to you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was heartening
to hear Voices of Colorado.
You know, Eric, it's been such a long time since we've played music.
It has been, but I just want to say one thing before you do, and that's that radio station out there has no competition at all.
That's
true. It's a 10-watt radio station. So when we heard it first, it was a 10-watt radio station. You might have thought maybe nobody listens to it. But they're the only radio station people can get out there, so they have to listen to it. So that 10-watt radio station could very well have more listeners than our 4,000-watt radio station. Isn't that something?
Except nobody lives out there. That's
well, that's true, too, but,
Well, anyway, in commemoration of Telluride, we have this Tellulive album.
Now, tell me something. Why does a town like that have an album and Stony Brook doesn't have an album, huh?
Well, we're going to have Folk Festival USB, right?
Well, yeah, someday.
Okay. Well,
we're also going to have the tripods coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The tripods are coming up really shortly.
Within 10 minutes.
But we have something from this 1979 Bluegrass and Country Music Festival from Hot Rise.
Uh-oh.
It's called High on a Mountain.
As I looked in that valley down below, it was green just as far as I could see. And as my memory returned, oh, how my heart did yearn for you in the days it used to be. High on the mountaintop, standing all alone, wondering where the years of my life had flown. Wondering about the days that used to be.
Thank you.
With the Three Village Tobacco Farms proudly presents The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle for peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we left our friends last week, they were gathered in Charlie's house discussing Howard, who is still in the hospital. And as we join them later on in the evening, they're still talking about this.
You know who would know what to do in a case like this? That detective. What was his name? I think it used to be on NBC.
Was it Cannon? Or Mannix?
No, Mr. Tripod. Both of those were on CBS.
Oh, well, excuse me, Charlie.
I think whatever it was had at least three syllables in it. And I can't for the life of me remember what they were.
Well, I really don't see what the difference makes who it was, Charlie. The point is, Howard's still out there in that wretched hospital, and we're just sitting around here in your house doing absolutely nothing.
Could you repeat that, please, Kathy? I didn't hear what you said.
Well, I mean, anything could be happening to him over in that place, and here we are talking about television shows. I don't understand you sometimes, Charlie.
I know it wasn't Columbo, or that other one, McMillan. It wasn't his wife, either.
Maybe it was McLeod. He could solve anything.
No, that wasn't it either.
Dennis Weaver played that part so well.
I'm going to go upstairs and get some rest. And maybe then I'll be able to hear what you people are saying. Was it Beretta, Charlie?
Yes, that was it, Mr. Tripod. Oh, what a great show that was.
But that was on ABC, you bughead!
Well, nobody's perfect, Mr. Tripod. I really wish you'd stop jumping.
Oh, look at Uncle Jonathan.
Wow, he's falling down all three flights of stairs.
Look at him go.
How about that?
He looked like an acrobat.
I'll say.
Oh, I sure wish Howard could have seen that one.
So do I. But at least we found out the name of that detective.
What, Beretta?
Yeah, you have no idea how that was bothering me. Wow.
What about it, Charlie?
What about what, Kathy?
Beretta. Oh, why are you trying to remember that program?
Oh, well, because... rats.
Well, now that we've gone through everything there is to talk about, let's try to face the issue, all right? Now we've got to rescue Howard. There's no two ways about that. He's my husband, and he's your friend, Charlie, and Pop, he's your own son. So what are we waiting for? They can't keep him in there. They can't say he's insane.
Kathy's right. And even if he is insane, that's pretty good considering all he's been through in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. I raised that boy since he was my son. I mean, we grew up together. No, that's not it either.
I think I know what you're trying to say, Mr. Tripod.
Oh, no, you don't, Charlie. Howard's my son. That's what I'm trying to say. And no hospital's going to separate my son from his father.
We should just go over there and demand to see him.
And take him home, too, Charlie. He's not going to stay in that place.
You're absolutely right, Kathy.
Come on, let's go.
I'll drive. Hi, everybody. Where are you going?
Oh, get out of the way. We're going to go rescue you.
Yeah, nobody's going to stop us.
Get out of the way, Howard. We're going to get you.
Howard.
And so, as Kathy, Charlie, and Pop set out to rescue Howard from the hospital, Howard suddenly comes home. What does it all mean? And why is Uncle Jonathan suddenly losing his hearing? You want to be with us next week when we'll hear Pop say...
Does this mean we're not going?
That's next week on The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka. Play your guitar, Willie. Willie Nile here on USB, Vagabond Moon. At 1:47, and it's time now to get in some Southside Johnny with special guest Lee Dorsey. It's called How Come You Treat Me So Bad?
I wonder where is my woman tonight? She ain't never around when I want her. Hey, Southside, have you seen my baby?
No, man, I ain't seen her.
Well, I've been hearing some talk. You sure you haven't seen my baby?
Well, here she comes now.
Well, step out the way. I got to do some talking. Listen here, baby, to what I say. I break my back, I'm working hard all day. And just when I need a little sympathy, you ain't home. You know now, baby, that I don't ask much. I just a little respect and a living touch. If I could afford two people, then why am I living alone? Then I wonder, how come you treat me so bad? You're the most stubborn woman that I ever had. How come you treat me so bad? Tell me, cause I've got to move. I gotta find out what's going on. All the women stop and they give me the eye, but the woman I love don't even wonder why. I ain't good looking, but I don't mind spending my money. Another man might just better account, but he's more likely to be messing around. Now I ain't laughing, but something sure seems funny, don't it? How come you treat me so bad? You're the most stubborn woman that I ever had. How come you treat me so bad? Tell me, cause I've got to move. Hey, Southside, there's something familiar about that church.
Well, I like to talk to you, but I gotta play.
And you give me peace. I ask for butter, you give me margarine. I ask you for the time, and you tell me I'm already too late. What do you mean? Someday, baby, you might change your mind. You realize what you left behind. I got news for you, baby. I just might not wait no more. How come you treat me so bad? You're the most stubborn woman that I ever had. How come you treat me so bad? I'm tired of being lonely and I feel so bad. So bad, you're the most stubborn woman that I ever had. How come you keep me so bad? Tell me, cause I've got to know. That woman makes me so tired. How long can this go on? She's just like her mother.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
What you mean, you know what I mean?
Well, don't get excited,
see? I'm talking about my baby. Who you talking about?
Well, I was just...
Hey, where'd you get that shirt?
My shirt.
Did my baby give you my shirt?
Wait a minute.
I paid $12 for that shirt.
This is my shirt. And you want to pay 99 cents for it?
99 cents, huh? I believe you've been stepping out on me.
Oh, yeah? Well, I don't mind stepping outside.
All right, you can step outside.
Across my heart, I hope that you will see it.
I'll bet if I gave you 10 years, you'd never think of the name of this band. They're called the Roulettes. That's right, and that's Love Is Like a Telescope. And it's a brand new album on Tacoma Records here on USDFM. The Roulettes before that, Southside Johnny. How come you treat me so bad with Lee Dorsey and accompanying Southside?
Not Tommy Dorsey.
No, Lee Dorsey.
Oh.
No, Tommy Dorsey doesn't talk like
in
that.
In a rubber-dubber style. Remember when we did that? We got so many comments on that.
We had a lot of calls when we put Tommy Dorsey through dub. That was a very, very interesting show.
Yes.
To say the least. It's 1:55 and time for the news. Mike, let's see what you have on the top of your head.
Secretary of State... Get rid of this record here. There we go. Secretary of State Alexander Haig arrived in the Mexican resort of Cancun to lay the groundwork for a North-South Summit conference. He'll meet with other foreign ministers over the weekend to prepare an agenda for the October meeting. The summit, which President Reagan will attend, is an effort by rich and poor countries to develop a common policy for resolving economic problems facing third world nations. A seventh Irish nationalist hunger striker has died at the Mays prison in Belfast as he entered the 71st day of his fast. The parents of 25-year-old Kevin Lynch had been at his bedside since he received the last rites of the Catholic Church 8 days ago. As news of Lynch's death spread, crowds gathered in the streets of West Belfast. Some women knelt to recite their rosaries. Other people banged the lids of trash cans and blew whistles as security forces mobilized for possibly another round of rioting. Meanwhile, the family of Paddy Quinn authorized doctors to intervene and try to save his life. A second IRA inmate, Kieran Doherty, is reportedly hallucinating and dangerously weak as he enters his 72nd day of fasting. Half the nation's commercial flights could be grounded on Monday if 15,000 air traffic controllers walk off their jobs as threatened. Federal mediator Kenneth Moffitt says the controllers and the government are light years apart in their effort to reach a contract settlement. Talks are scheduled to resume Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Seems to me we heard the exact same news item a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's not old news you got there, is it?
No, it's today's date, yesterday's date.
Close okay. Enough. Well, the Senate House Conference Committee is working into the night on the last remaining tax cut disputes. The conferees have already agreed to allow a bigger tax break for workers who contribute to retirement plans, and they've decided to keep the public from getting access to secret IRS computer tapes. The agency says the tapes could show tax cheaters how to avoid getting caught. A 25% cut in personal tax rates and the reductions in business taxes are locked into the bill and will not be discussed. Congress completed action Friday on $130.5 billion in budget cuts over the next 3 years. The final Senate vote came after House Democrats gave up their effort to amend the bill to retain the minimum Social Security benefit. And in an unusual move, Stanford University will be offering a patented genetic engineering technique to any firm that wants it for a $10,000 annual fee. The spokesman says because the licenses will be non-exclusive, no one will get a competitive advantage. The gene splicing and cloning technique developed in Stanford's labs was patented last December. And the Mediterranean fruit flies threatening produce in California are living longer than expected. And state officials say they may have to schedule extra rounds of aerial pesticide spraying to cover the entire breeding cycle. 2 rounds have been completed so far.
The master builder of New York City's parks, highways, bridges, and playgrounds has been laid to rest following a funeral service in which he was hailed as a Renaissance man. In a eulogy for Robert Moses yesterday in Bayshore, the Reverend Lawrence McGinley said Moses accomplished as much in his lifetime as all the Egyptian pharaohs who built the pyramids. Among those attending the funeral were Mayor Edward Koch, Governor Hugh Carey, former New York City Mayor Robert Wagner, and the former head of State Parks, Lawrence Rockefeller. Moses died Wednesday at the age of 92. He had been staying at his summer home in Gilgo, next to Jones Beach State Park, one of his most memorable projects. In more than half a century of public life, Moses constructed 658 playgrounds in New York City, 416 miles of parkways, and 13 bridges. His other projects were the United Nations, Shea Stadium, New York Coliseum, Lincoln Center, the Co-op City Housing Project in the Bronx, and the Triborough, Throgs Neck, and Verrazano Narrows Bridges.
Are you telling me that the Co-op City Project in the Bronx is supposed to be our version of the pyramids?
That's what
the Reverend Lawrence McGinley claims to claim.
Okay, all right, fine. Well, taking a look at sports now. To some, it's going to resemble the feeling of having been away on a summer vacation, away from the sports pages. When you get back home, it takes a while to catch up on what you've missed. In the case of the baseball strike, you haven't missed anything, but you still may feel lost. If the tentative agreement is ratified, when the season resumes August 10th, 59 days will have passed since the boys of summer played the last regular season game. Even a diehard fan can forget a few things, so here's a short refresher course. Let me try saying that again. Here's a short refresher course. Back that one better, Mike?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Thank you. First, some easy questions. Do you remember who the division leaders were?
Nope.
In the National League East.
Who?
Philadelphia had a game and a half edge on St. Louis. In the West?
Beats me.
The Los Angeles lead over Cincinnati was only half a game. In the American League?
Who?
Oh, come on. The New York Yankees were leading Baltimore by two games, while Oakland was a game and a half up on Texas in the West.
Oh, but I knew that.
Okay. I believe you.
And how about batting? You know how often the guy at the plate with a piece of lumber hits the round white thing thrown by the guy on the little hill some 60 feet away? Well, Joel Youngblood of the New York Mets was atop the National League with a .359 percentage. Bo Diaz of Cleveland topped the American League at .356. Home runs, you ask? Dave Kingman of the
home
Mets.
Home runs?
No, it's home runs. Home runs?
Home runs.
It says home runs, you ask? Well, Dave Kingman of the New York Mets, Mike Schmidt of the Phillies, and George Foster of the Reds each smacked 14. Gorman Thomas of Milwaukee led the American League with 15 round-trippers.
Gorman Thomas.
RBIs?
You RBIs.
That's good. Cincinnati's George Foster with 49, and Buddy Bell of Texas with 42.
Arrows.
Philadelphia's Steve Carlton had the best one-loss ratio among National League pitchers with six or more decisions. He was 9-1. Boston's Mark Clear was 7-1 in the American League. For strikeouts, one need only look to the Dodgers' rookie sensation, Fernando Valenzuela.
Ah, Fernando.
Who fanned 103 batters. Cleveland's Lynn Barker led the American League with 70. And I have a related story.
How is it related?
The beer that made Milwaukee famous will no longer be brewed in Milwaukee. The Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company has announced that its Milwaukee plant will be closed permanently at the end of September, though the firm will keep its main office in Milwaukee. USB Long Island weather's calling for mostly clear skies tonight. Lows in the 60s.
Right now, it's 69 degrees Fahrenheit, 19, or rather make that 21 on the Celsius scale. And it's a bit clear outside, isn't it? You can see stars.
That's true.
And little pinpoints of light. It's 2 minutes after 2 o'clock.
And you are tuned to WUSB.
In Stony Brook. And I'm Eric Corley.
And I'm Mike Uhas.
This is a radio-free weekend. We've got a lot of good things coming for you. Throughout the day, throughout the weekend. Of course, throughout the week, as always, on USB. Right now, though, we have our weekly album slide, which, of course, you are invited to suggest. It has to be an album slide that you feel means something to you. And, well, here's an album slide that means something to somebody. It's sort of like a party album type thing. And it brings out a lot of happiness and a lot of dancing fever, that type of thing. It's slide 2 from the first album by an English band called The Specials. And what we're going to hear is a few songs on
Face 2.
Face 2, let me get the album thing here. Okay, a lot of songs. Monkey Man, we're going to start with. Dawning of a New Era, Blank Expression, Stupid Marriage, Too Much Too Young, Gangsters, Little Bitch, and You're Wondering Now. A lot of good songs on this album, so sit back or stand up and enjoy Specials. Goodbye.
Big monkey man. Ay, 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 ay
dark and the roads are dark. So I walk downtown. There's no one around. I walk in a bar and immediately I sense danger. You look at me, girl, as if I was some kind of a total stranger. Where did you get that blank, blank expression on your face?
Something that she knows she never will.
where she wanted and forgot to take her pill. And he thinks that she'll be happy when she's hanging out the nappies. If that's a happy marriage, I prefer to be
unhappy.
Naked man, where did you get that nice Santa?
Take him away!
Oh, nothing but you.
That record.
Well, we've come to the end of another record side. This one was side two of the Specials' first album, and well, what a great way to end an album. The words, the end. And what a great album that was, too.
That's the best way I could ever think of it.
Yeah. Every song on that album was produced by Elvis Costello, except for one which we heard called Gangsters. It was third from the last song that was produced by the Specials.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good material from them. They have one more album called More Specials after that, and they have a single now in England called Ghost Town, which we should be receiving soon.
Let's hope so. Are they coming out with another album called Additional More Specials?
Even More Specials.
Oh, Even More Specials, you think will be the name?
They already have a list of them, and there's still more specials, and I think their fifth album will be all No More Specials.
Really?
That last album will be called No More Specials.
Good.
They don't know when that's going
to
be, though.
Yeah, well, it's hard to predict when the last will be. How do you know that the More Specials won't be the last Specials?
Because it doesn't say that on the record.
I see.
It would say that on the record if it was the last one. I have to think these things out logically.
Hmm. More True Facts.
More True Facts, yes. We have... this is a good one, actually. It's, we were talking about sports before, about the baseball strike and everything. I got some interesting sports stories here. Really good ones. I guess I should read them to you.
Mm-hmm.
A Corsican soccer fan, Jean... Can you turn that record off, please? Thank you. A Corsican soccer fan, Jean-Marc Luchetti...
Wait a minute. It sounds like you have to clear your throat.
Thank you. Received a 3-month jail term for interfering with play at an important match in Marato, Italy, when a Marato player kicked...
Sorry.
Thank you. When a Marato player kicked what appeared to be a certain goal against his team, Luchetti drew a revolver and shot the ball. Effective. Also, two of Poland's leading jockeys were suspended for beating each other with their riding crops during a close race. Oh, boy.
These things... What can you do?
And finally, after a total of 21 guerrilla artillery shells exploded on the hillside golf course... in Umtalo, Zimbabwe, during the Rhodesian Civil War, Club officials amended customary lie regulations. Players were allowed to move their balls from the fairway mortar craters without penalty.
Well, that's pretty noble of them, I suppose.
It certainly is, and it just goes to show you how liberal the government in Rhodesia is getting.
That's the wide world of sports.
Yeah. Another thing that can be very interesting are animals.
Yes, after having been brushed by a locomotive near Nairobi, Kenya, an elephant lay in wait beside the track for another train. When one arrived 2 hours later, the elephant attacked the freight car and destroyed its braking system.
Don't mess with elephants when you're on a train.
Or parrots. John McKay, he'll tell you all about it. He was fined $54 by an English court for assaulting, imprisoning, and torturing a parrot. How do you imprison a parrot?
Why don't you explain it to us?
Well, I'm not sure. Drunk and disturbed by his bird's shrieking, McKay forced the creature into a freezer and later transferred it to an oven. He set the burner on low heat. The parrot recovered after medical treatment and was remanded in the care of Mrs. McKay. That was another Reuters story.
Well, it's Reuters people. They come up with all the stories.
Yeah.
What else you got there?
Well, let's see.
How about you just flipped over something there. Japanese English, yeah. Let's look at some words in Japanese and see how they translate. Well, some English words, see how they sound in Japanese.
Okay, here's one. I'll read the Japanese pronunciation.
Okay.
You tell me what it is in English.
Okay. Fine.
This ought to be fun. Tobacco.
Cigarette.
Right.
Not tobacco, cigarette.
Cigarettes, yes, that's what it is.
Okay.
And we all know what tobacco farms comes out backwards.
Yeah, we can't mention the sponsor, though, now. We have to mention it when the tripods are on.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Gorufu.
Actually, it's Gorufu.
Is that gorilla?
No, that's golfing.
Golfing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was certainly way off.
Yes. Oh, here's one. Toy Rawa.
What?
Toy Rawa.
I don't want to say what I think it is, but what is it?
Toilet.
Oh, that wasn't what I didn't want to say.
Here's one. Aspirin.
Tylenol. No, I can't say that on here, can I?
You can't say Tylenol. Nor can you say co-Tylenol.
Aspirin's not a brand, though. Like, you know, Buffering a Bear or something like that.
No.
Aspirin. Okay, so I'll say aspirin.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You're right. Here's one. Let's see. Hoteru.
Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Bariboru.
That doesn't sound like Japanese. It sounds like some, I don't know.
Bariboru.
Bowling alley.
Close. Volleyball.
Oh.
Bowling is Boringu.
Boringu?
Uh-huh.
Let's go Boringu with the guys.
One. Here's one. Firumu. Firumu.
Firumu?
Firumu.
You got me on that one, Mike.
Film, as in one's camera.
Oh.
Raita.
Raita. Don't know.
Lighter.
Uh-huh.
As in cigarette lighter.
May I borrow your Raita?
Yes.
I'll ask someone that in the airport next time.
You know what? These things were originally published in Forbes magazine. Did you read these?
The letters.
These are great.
Hey, these are great.
The following letters were written to Forbes magazine over the last 62 years. This one was written in 1919. Mm-hmm. Sirs, thus far in our industrial development, the worker has not evidenced any particular desire for a vacation. Even the organized workers have not put forth this demand in their programs. Today, the supreme duty of industry is to give the world more production. Industry must strike a balance between us, between its social duty not to shorten or make unhappy the lives of its workers, and its duty to provide the physical wants of the public. The selling prices of goods are dependent upon production costs, and the cost of vacations would eventually be passed on to the public. And you know who wrote that letter?
Who?
George Eastman of Eastman Kodak Company in 1919.
Unbelievable.
You want to read one now?
Yeah, let me find one more thing. I like the sign over here. It says, be kind to animals by not eating them. Very good. Well, this one on the back, Jehovah's Witnesses Wrestling Harlem Globetrotters. It doesn't actually say that, but it looks like it says that.
And then there's the dog urinating on the sign that says no dogs allowed.
How about a little old lady who collapsed in a London supermarket and was subsequently diagnosed as suffering from extreme cold? She was found to have hidden a frozen chicken under a large veiled hat. All right, here's something I want to look at. Your tax dollars at work.
Oh, are these the Golden Fleece Awards? Oh, no, yeah. That's the next page.
Well, here you are, folks. This is where your money goes. A redevelopment agency in Pennsylvania applied to the Department of Housing and Urban Development for $1,127,222 in financial assistance. HUD agreed to provide the funds. However, its auditors discovered the request exceeded departmental levels by $1. A project manager offered to supply the extra dollar from his own pocket, but HUD insisted that new contracts be drawn, causing a 3-month delay and adding several thousand dollars to the cost of completing the transaction. Listen to this. The lower house of the Iowa State Legislature declared the state flower of Kansas, the sunflower, a noxious weed.
This is good.
7 years earlier, when similar legislation was proposed in Iowa, Kansas introduced a bill to declare the state bird of Iowa, the goldfinch, a public nuisance. Unbelievable.
It is. Brilliant. Do we have time for this short little announcement?
Well, we had a request for the Ramones, I believe.
Hi, this is Joey Ramone of the Ramones, and you can hear all the best in rock right here on WUFB Stony Brook.
The Ramones here on USBFM. Now, a couple of more tax dollar things here that you might be interested in.
Let me just get rid of this music, okay?
Yeah, I want to get rid of that music. Okay. Now, we give this Golden Fleece Award to the Department of Agriculture for spending nearly $46,000 to determine how long it takes to cook breakfast. U.S. Postal Service for launching a $3.4 million ad campaign to encourage Americans to write more letters. Postal authorities had stated that the increased first-class revenues from these letters would help offset the deficits incurred by other categories of mail. However, the post office's financial reports also showed that each piece of first-class mail was sent at a loss. Therefore, $3.4 million was spent to increase post office losses.
That's just great.
I love that one.
These are the Golden Fleece Awards from Senator Henry Proxmire?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It says here Senator William Proxmire of Wisconsin.
William Proxmire. Henry, William, whatever. They're all the same.
Has bestowed his dubious honor on a number of wasteful federal programs and expenditures, including the ones that we're reading. For instance, Law Enforcement Assistance Administration for funding a $27,000 investigation of the reasons inmates are so eager to escape from prison.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is an important concept.
Yeah, and one final one. To the Law Enforcement Assistance Administration for developing and later scrapping a prototype police patrol car designed at a cost of $2 million. The cruiser featured, among other things, a visual indicator that showed whether or not the siren was on. I think that's about enough for
that. All the things we really wanted to need. Here's another interesting thing that Eric's going to tell you all about.
I am?
Yes.
Well, yes, next week on Mike Juhas' program. Why don't I just let you tell us, Mike?
That's the sound of Lothlorien. This is Mike Juhas, and I'll be speaking with a couple of members of this unique local group this Thursday evening. Lothlorien, a look at their refreshing style of East-West fusion, right here on WUSB Stony Brook, Thursday at 9.05 p.m. Won't you join us?
Well, I'm going to be there.
Yeah, you better be there. Lothlorien. This Thursday night, huh?
That's right. And they're very local as well.
Are they from these areas? Or?
Yes, they certainly are.
Well, that's good to hear. Okay, well, we'll all be listening next Thursday at 9 o'clock to you. We have a special guest coming in a few minutes. And
yeah,
we'll be getting to that.
And
Plus, Funky and Spunky are going to be in.
Oh, they're coming back.
Yeah, they're going to be back for another one of those fancy, handy-dandy public service announcements.
Well, I better go and lock the door then.
I don't let no human being mix with my machine. I ain't sociably inclined, 'cause I'm a lone rider. Why don't you hear me cry? Now don't you hear me cry? See me on my horse, make like a prairie dog. Keep an eye on the road. We watch out for that human patrol. Cause if I ain't sociably inclined, you know I'm a lone rider. Now don't you hear me cry?
Quite privileged to have in the studio Mr. George Peoria. George is an expert on automobile maintenance, and as a special feature of Radio Free Long Island, he's going to be providing a complete call-in answer service to your telephone questions. George, can you tell us about ourselves, and I'll screen the first call.
Thank you very much, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here, and I hope to help the folks out there with the problems they may be having with their automobiles at the present moment. I realize there are a lot of cars in the world today, and we have to make sure that they all work as well as possible. And I think if you give us a call right now, I can help you out. I've worked with cars for a good part of my life, and I think I could find out what your problem is. Do we have a call? Yes, we have a call. Okay. Go ahead.
Hello, am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Well, I seem to have developed a terrible problem. I'm hoping you can help me out.
Go ahead, sir.
I have developed a terrible air leak in my back tire. What should I do?
Okay, well, a tire leak, an air leak, rather, in a tire is often a warning sign of something else that is wrong with the car. There could be a problem with the rear axle. There could be a problem with the front alignment. There could be a problem with the muffler. It's, in my opinion, the best thing to do is to take it down to a reputable service station that will look your entire car over and make sure that nothing is wrong with it. And I believe such a service station exists on the corner of Route 112 and 24 called Larry's. You can take it down there, and they'll be sure to check into it for you. Let's go to the next call.
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, this is a very interesting radio program you have.
Thank you very much. Do you have a question on cars?
Yes, I do.
Well, what is it?
Well, I was driving down the Long Island Expressway the other day,
yes,
and my steering wheel fell off.
Yes.
What should I do?
Well, it would make sense to put it back on so you could resume driving, but again, a steering wheel falling off is not a good sign. It happens a lot in films, motion pictures, TV shows, and usually something funny happens, but if it happens in real life, you probably end up going into a tree and dying or something. So get the thing put back on, drive down to a reputable service station such as Larry's at the corner of Route 112 and 24, and have your car checked out thoroughly and make sure that nothing else is wrong with it. Having a steering wheel fall off is not a good sign. There could be a lot more things wrong with your car than even you suspect. Let's go to the next call.
Hello? Hello, good morning, George. I have this problem with my car.
Yes.
Well, you know, the condition they keep the roads in here on Long Island, occasionally there'll be potholes.
And let me tell you something. The condition that roads are in on Long Island is just about the worst condition for roads, for cars, excuse me.
I know it.
You can spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars of front-end work, and one pothole will totally wipe it out. So that's why I suggest that you go for a weekly front-end check at a reputable gas station, such as Larry's, on the corner of Route 112 and 24. What was your specific problem?
Well, there's this one road I travel on my way to work. It's got so many potholes that had been filled in, some that hadn't been filled in. It looks like there's so many patches on it that the road looks just like a quilt. Now, this is causing my headlight to fall out, but only on the left side. Now, what should I do to correct this situation? Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to ask the listener first, before he hangs up, if you have a four headlight system or a two headlight system.
Well, neither, actually. It's a motorcycle, and I only have one headlight.
Oh, well, then you certainly need it. Okay, well, get the headlight put back in, and bring it down to a reputable motorcycle repair shop.
Am I still on the air?
Such as Larry's on the corner of Route 112 and 24, who also does motorcycles.
Hello?
They fix bicycles, too. They fix just about everything, so
bring all of this stuff down there. Hello?
Let's go to the next call. You're on the air.
Why, hello, Don. I mean, George, whatever your name is.
George is the name.
George,
are you sure you're calling the right program?
Yes. I read your column every day in the Yankee Penny Saver.
Oh.
And I was wondering,
thank you,
if I could get an autographed picture of you for my living room.
Well, a full catalog of autographed pictures of me are available at any reputable gas station, such as Larry's at the corner of Route 112 and 24. Let's take one last call.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
I'm the same fellow who had the motorcycle a minute ago.
Oh.
But I thought you cut me off when I was on the air. I had another question.
Well, go ahead.
Well, what am I going to do when it rains out? How am I supposed to drive my motorcycle?
Well, certain shops carry a full line of rain material for motorcycles, such as umbrellas that do not fly away under high speeds. Any reputable motor shop would sell that, such as Larry's on the corner of Route 112 and 24. There's a full line of motorcycle umbrellas and awnings that you can attach to your motorcycle. So I would suggest investing in one of those. They're only a couple of $100, but they'll really do you a lot of good. They'll double your enjoyment on the motorcycle because you'll be able to ride in the rain. And also they carry a full line of rain tires that prevent the motorcycle from slipping off the road. It's definitely worth the investment. Let's take one last call because that really didn't count, so this will be the last call.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Hi, I'm calling from St. James tonight.
Yes.
When I'm in heavy traffic and I go to blow my horn at someone, sometimes it doesn't work, but it only doesn't work when I'm in heavy traffic, and I'm wondering if there's a cause to that effect.
Well, yes, a horn not working is a symptom, very often a symptom of more trouble within the car. A horn not working could indicate, for instance, that the pistons aren't firing in the correct order, that the ball bearings might be off, that the exhaust system might not be functioning as well as it might, that the transmission may be the wrong size for the car. The horn is the voice of the car. And if that doesn't work properly, you're sure to have some problems. I would recommend taking your car in and having a full checkup of all the parts at a reputable gas station, such as Larry's gas station at the corner of Route 112 and 24. So I would definitely recommend that, and your problems with your horn should definitely cease, as well as quite a few others. Okay, I think that... Oh, Mike, do we have time for... Okay, we have time for one more call. This will be the last call. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello. I'm calling from the Department of Customer Affairs. My name is Donald Hagen.
Uh-huh.
And we think that your program is a complete farce, and it is a total fraud perpetrated on the American public. We'd like to know what you have to say about that.
I think we're just about out of time now, and I've really enjoyed being on this program. I hope I can return again someday soon. Mike, I want to thank you for inviting me up here. And
Well, it was indeed an experience, George.
I hope your listeners learned something from it.
Yeah, we certainly did get a good bunch of intelligent telephone calls tonight, and hope to have you again next week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Maybe she let me go. become dictators and rule your own country. So here are some tips on doing it right.
First off, you gotta know a foreign language, because there aren't many dictatorships in English-speaking countries these days.
And to win the respect, admiration, fear, and income of your people, you should have a grand title. Something like the Supreme Wazoo is good.
Always try to refrain from using excessive violence. For instance, it's not a good idea to make jaywalking a capital offense.
And if you must torture your enemies, try not to cause permanent physical damage. We recommend tickling their feet and telling them lots of knock-knock jokes.
Now, even the best-run totalitarian regimes can be overthrown, so always keep your top military brass happy so they won't start thinking about coups and stuff. One way is to serve them lots of yummy cookies and milk at all important meetings.
Finally, if you're suffering from any serious ailment, like syphilis, for instance, always seek prompt medical aid. Because look what happened to Steve and Idi Amin. So this is Spunky.
And Bunky reminding you that even fascists
don't play with blasting caps.
Hi, I'm Joel Block, and I'd like to invite you to join me right here on WUSB every evening at 5:58 p.m. and at midnight for Stardate. This week on our program, we'll be talking about shooting stars, or meteors, which are most numerous around this time of year. We'll talk about a new technique that'll enable astronomers to operate telescopes located thousands of miles away. And we'll talk about the striking array of planets in the twilight sky. So please join us right here for Stardate.
Well, if you tuned in for 3 hours of record skipping, you certainly come to the right place.
You almost got it. It's been a long and nice night.
Yes, 3 hours worth.
Yeah, it's 2:58.
You know, this is a first in our history.
Certainly, what is?
We are surrounded by women.
That's true, yes. Nancy Belushi in front of us.
And Rochelle Goldman coming up right after us.
How about that? And then
she's got a, I like her little button that she's wearing on. She says, "Punk till you puke."
That's class.
That's really.
And you're going to be here.
And she's wearing a New York Mets t-shirt, too.
Yes.
Well, that's what's in. New York Mets.
Yes. Well, Eric. Well, Eric.
It's been interesting. Yes. Didn't let that burst in.
Get out of your pop tripod.
Oh. He's talking to us all. Well, Mike, it's, well, I don't know how to phrase it.
Well, I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know either, but the best way to phrase it is like this. Demands for Sidney Shriver. What can I say? He'll be back next week, I believe.
Maybe.
He's on vacation this week in...
Oh, really? Where's he vacationing?
I think he went off to some island somewhere.
Well, he's not at WUSB Stony Brook, that's for sure.
No. Long Island, I think he said.
My gosh.
I can't believe he went to vacation in the place he lives. And he thinks he's going on a vacation, too. Oh, well, this isn't sure for you, but he will be back next week along with the Tripods and Bunky and Spunky and Mike and me and all sorts of other things.
I'll be back Thursday night with Lothlorien.
Lothlorien will be in the studios doing all sorts of crazy things.
Yes.
In the meantime, have yourselves a good week. Stay out of trouble.
Unless you are a troublesome type.
If you need to get in trouble, you know, be cool. That's our motto here.
Yeah, just be cool. A minute after three.
We're over our time.
We're on borrowed time, and we're not going to give it back either.
This is WUSB Stony Brook.
I already said that.
Good night, Mike.
Good night, Eric.
The show goes next.
Bye.
Bye. Hello, Rochelle.
Solid, it's just part of the fight. Like the end of the bottom, the bed of the ice. Right now we have a full attack.